Our next guest is CEO of the Super Members Council, Misha Schubert. Good morning.
G'day, Tom. Lovely to be with you and your listeners.
Well, thank you for joining us. So, all right, in 2022, Scott Morrison said maybe you could take out up to 50 grand out of your super to fund a house purchase. It looks like that policy is being revised, and they're now saying you could take out all of your super if you want to, you know, help towards a first home deposit. Do you think it's a good idea?
Look, it's really important for people to understand that this is a bit of a policy trap, because all that would happen if such a policy were to be implemented is that people would be, young people particularly, would be encouraged to take money out of their super, and it would just whack up house prices. So stands to reason, it's economically kind of rational that people selling houses, knowing that there's that extra money sloshing around in the marketplace, would whack up their prices. We've done some really detailed modelling on conservative assumptions that shows that it would push up house prices by 9% across the five major capital cities. That would add another 75 grand to the cost of a median house price in those capital cities. For Melbourne, it'd be around $70,000 more added straight onto the price of your house, which basically means for younger Australians, they'd be told, take your money out, so you're losing the compound returns that happen across your working life because those savings are preserved. Three quarters of the money you get now at retirement is because of those compounding returns. So the message would be to young Australians, you're on your own. You need to take money out of your super to hand it over to a person selling you the house. You pay more for the house with a bigger mortgage, paid off for longer, you're poorer in retirement, and we'd be whacking up reliance on the age pension. So it's pretty economically reckless.
Yeah, but I suppose the only thing is a lot of studies, and I've read a few of them, show that retirees who own their house are better off in retirement than those who do not, because those who do not are, you know, thrown upon the rental market, which can be even worse, at least if you own your own home. And then, of course, there's also the, I guess, the qualitative satisfaction that, you know, this is my home, I own it, I can't be kicked out.
Look, we desperately want to see more Australians in homes and to see more younger Australians in homes, but it's really important to understand that this policy proposal wouldn't actually achieve that. It would do the opposite. It would just make house prices higher. And perversely, if it were to be implemented, the median super balance of most renters in their 30s is just $40,000. So actually, for those people, what you'd likely see is older renters then with a bit more money in super taking money out, and it would make it harder for younger people in their sort of 30s to then get their first toehold into the housing market because it's more expensive.
I think the Coalition must have looked at the Singapore model, because the Coalition's plan bears a lot of similarities to the Singapore model. But the big difference in Singapore is there's a government-owned housing development corporation, I think it's called the HDC, and they build more than half the apartments in Singapore. So they allow you to use your super, but the government also helps supply the new apartment for you, the first home buyer, to buy. What if the government had a supply response? Like, we'll build all these homes, but only first home buyers can buy them.
Look, we'd really welcome all political parties putting forward more measures that enhance supply. But Singapore is not a very useful comparison, because people actually in Singapore pay three times more in their super contributions into the scheme, and government builds the majority of property and leases it long term. So I think something like 90% of Singaporeans are in like long-term leases rather than actually owning their own home. The better comparison is actually New Zealand. Their KiwiSaver scheme was changed in 2007 to allow people to pull money out for home deposits. Interestingly, Tom, their home ownership rates in New Zealand have actually fallen since the introduction of that. So they're down now at 64.9%. Australia's actually got a slightly higher home ownership rate at 66%. The other effect is that when you have that sort of greater liquidity call on the money that we're all kind of earning compound returns from in super, the overall returns are weaker for everyone. So it actually would have a consequence as well for every single person with our retirement savings in the super system. So on every level, it doesn't do what's claimed for it, and it's a bit of a trap. You know, I think we should be saying to younger Australians, you know, you shouldn't have to choose between super and a house. You should actually legitimately have the dream of both. It's a cruel choice to put on young Australians. And, you know, it's not, you know, we should be expecting politicians to put forward policy solutions that actually enable both.
All right. Thank you for your time. Misha Schubert there, CEO of the Super Members Council.